Bridge, Mr. Van de Breen?
Yes, did I just mention about adding a, taking this break for a municipal water supply provided for in a bill, and a task force never questioned that at all. If a municipality needs a water source inside a critical habitat area, I'm sure they have no difficulty getting it anywhere in the state. And as a matter of fact, the use of a watershed, a water source and a watershed would go hand in hand with its uses as a critical habitat area. They're complementary to one another. One of the primary reasons for needing this area down here is because from Tustamina South in the National Moose Range, now Wildlife Range, there was no provision made. Those people did not address the problem of winter range for that large area, and this, in a way, would. And someone asked how long some of us have been here. I've been here since the first in 1949, and the most have done a lot for me over the years, and I'd like to do a little something for them. If there are any...
thank you very much, Mr. Van de Brink. Senator Alford was saying that they're not the same moose. Mr. Carlson, are you there?
You can get all the old timers now.
Now, this is Paul A. Sweet Carlson. I've lived in the Fritz Creek Valley for 25 years. Tagged and collared moose in the Tuscumina Caribou Lake area. I had correspondence at one time as to just the number of moose, and I do know from personal observation that they do calve in the Fritz Creek area. As far as the area itself goes, and this is concerns of Beaver Flat, the lands of Anchor River and Fritz Creek, roughly about 20 to 30% of that area is classified as wetlands, and Dr. J.D. McKendrick, an agronomist for the University of Alaska at Palmer, actually stated December the 20th at the DNR's public meeting that the primary and best use of that land was for moose browse. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Fine. Thank you, Mr. Carlson. It's my understanding that no one else, there are several people there to observe, including Nancy Lord, but that no one else is there to testify. So we would then go to Anchorage, and who do you have there, please? Are you there, Anchorage?
Yes, Anchorage is here, but I don't think our person who is trying to service us is here. I'll proceed if you wish.
You're just doing fine. We'll let you run it. Would you identify yourself, and then we're pleased to hear from you.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Jeff Parker, and I'm speaking in behalf of the Wildlife Alliance of Alaska, Chris Wall, who is a hunting guide on the Southern Kenai Peninsula and the Sierra Club. The area that we're talking about here is, I think, probably most important to focus on for the reasons that the previous speaker did about winter range for moose. The Kenai National Wildlife Refuge, and I used to work for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and worked for quite a while on issues related to the Kenai National Wildlife Refuge, contains no winter habitat for moose for the southern herd of moose on that refuge. And for the southern Kenai Peninsula herd, it's basically really one herd, you know, south of the Sterling Highway, and obviously they don't care whether they're inside the federal lands or inside the state lands or inside the native lands. But in terms of the lands that are under some sort of management for moose, there is nothing there for winter range that is protected for those moose. The Fritz Creek Critical Habitat Area would provide a significant amount of winter range for the southern herd of animals, which is, I believe, about 1,500 animals on the federal refuge. This area, the Fritz Creek Critical Habitat Proposal, gets winter use of densities as dense as 23 moose per square mile, according to the record established by the Game Division in this matter. The Game Division has surveyed the area frequently. It has been a critical habitat proposal it has been discussed as a critical habitat proposal by Fish and Game since 1972 because of its value for winter habitat. It is important to the extent that we have several hundred moose in the Fritz Creek drainage, about 300 moose, I believe the Fish and Game record shows, utilizing that area during the winter months ago in Homer, actually a week ago today, this evening in Homer, the game division there was saying that if there is any part of this movement pattern that tends to be a focus for the most during the winter, it is what game division has identified since 1972 as the Fritz Creek Anchor River critical habitat area. That area seems to be the most heavily utilized consistently across various winters and various conditions by a substantial portion of the southern herd. I also would like to point out that Lou Pamplin, the director of the Division of Game, has pointed out in the internal documents leading to the South Central Recreation Area Plan that that any agricultural development or settlement or disposal of the lands in this critical habitat area would be incompatible, he says, with high-density moose winter use. The Fritz Creek Critical Habitat proposal actually in the South Central Area Recreation Plan, well, it was included in that plan, and the history of why it's not in the plan in front of the legislature submitted in the plan as submitted by the governor is rather interesting. What the governor submitted for the South Central Area Recreation Plan is what is part one of that plan. Part two includes a number of areas that are identified for future legislative consideration. And what happened here is that everything that went into part one was identified immediately as basically to deal with recreational needs for South Central. Part two was not thought to, at that time, be that urgent. But what happened in this particular case in the Fritz Creek Critical Habitat Area is that while ADF&G and DNR at the top levels of that agency were talking about what were the priorities for Part 1 and would go into the scrap South Central Area Recreation Plan immediately and for legislative designation versus what should be considered at a later date, while DNR and ADF&G were talking about that at the upper levels of the agency down in the conveyancing divisions of DNR, the application for conveying these lands to the university was actually proceeding. So inadvertently, we had agencies proceeding along two different tracks at the same time. And I have no doubt that if the top levels of ADF&G and DNR had been aware when scrap was being put together for submission to the governor and to the legislature, they'd been aware that this Fritz Creek critical habitat area was on its way to being conveyed out of state ownership, then this critical moose habitat area proposal would have been immediately been in the priority one category for legislative consideration, as everything else was, such as recreational rivers.
Mr. Parker?
That, I think, is why this bill passed the House unanimously last week, and why it was virtually unanimously endorsed by the House Resources Committee.
Mr. Parker?
There.
Yes, Mr. Parker, we're running very short of time, and I wonder if you could conclude your remarks.
Well, thank you. I have only one other point, and that is I work substantially also with sport fishing groups. The Anchor River, as many of you probably know, is the top steelhead, king salmon, coho salmon stream. And the upper portions of the Anchor provide important rearing habitat for those species as well as rainbow and dolly garden. Those alone are additional assets to weigh into our strong recommendation for designating this area. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Was there anyone else there in Anchorage, please?
We have one more gentleman to speak.
All right. We're going to have to be very brief. We just have a very short time until the end of the meeting here. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will be extremely brief. My name is Cliff Eames. I'm with the Alaska Center for the Environment. The previous witnesses in the Department of Fish and Game have, I think, very well documented the substantial values of this area. I'll just emphasize that as we support this bill, its proposal is not just of local interest, but of regional interest as well. That is of interest to large numbers of residents in South Central Alaska. And we urge you to establish this area. Thank you.
Fine. Thank you, Mr. Eames. Apparently, that's the testimony that we have on the teleconference. We had two other individuals. Ned Farquhar is here from the Department of Natural Resources, and a question had been asked about the number of inholdings. I believe Scott Heilman from the Environmental Lobby, who had wished to be last. Mr. Farquhar?
Madam Chair, knowing that you only... Madam Chair, my name is Ned Farquhar.
Dennis Kelso.
From the Department of Natural Resources. And I'll try to be quick here. The department has worked closely with the sponsor to amend the bill as introduced to allow continued multiple use. And we have put together a map over here that you can see. The black boundary indicates the boundaries of the proposed habitat area, and within it are shown in various colors the proposed or existing leases, grazing leases, oil and gas leases, borough entitlement applications, and coal prospecting applications, a timber sale, and a proposed timber sale. The borough and the university have both applied for lands within the Fritz Creek drainage within the Anchor River area. Both the university and the Kenai Peninsula Borough have outstanding entitlements that the state will have to meet somewhere. There is an existing public purposes grazing lease to the university in the Fritz Creek area. The department didn't propose, contrary to prior testimony, the department did not propose to convey the Fritz Creek parcel to the university, but instead to the Kenai Borough. That decision has been appealed by more than 30 parties. Last week we held a hearing in Homer on the appeals, and we'll probably be coming out with a director's decision within a couple of weeks on that proposed conveyance. His decision will be appealable also to the commissioner, so there will be no conveyance until late this summer, probably, if we decide to proceed. My final point would just be that critical habitat area designation is probably the most restrictive designation in statute, but we believe that the language in the bill allows us to continue with other uses in the area, although it probably would prevent conveyances to other than the municipality. Thank you.
Fine. Thank you very much. Mr. Kelso,
thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be very brief. My name is Dennis Kelso, Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game. I'm here to speak in support of the bill to establish the proposed Anchor River and Fritz Creek critical habitat area. The Anchor River and Fritz Creek drainages provide the only moose overwintering area in the southern Kenai Peninsula. In an average winter, riparian habitat in these drainages provides willow browse and associated cover for up to 500 moose, about 20% of the southern Kenai moose population. The density of moose overwintering can be illustrated by a recent survey which spotted 23 moose per square mile because of the unique configuration of feed and cover and south-facing lower elevation portions of the drainage. The area is popular for hunting, trapping, fishing, wildlife viewing, skiing, snow machining, of course. All those uses would continue. The area would also provide for use of Fritz Creek as a future community water source. The department has worked with the Department of Natural Resources and the sponsor to draft language dealing expressly with valid existing rights. There was some concern expressed by the House Resources Committee about whether these rights were adequately protected. Under common law and the statutes of Alaska, that protection would extend to property interests on critical habitat areas, whether they're specifically identified or not. But it was believed that because of the unique circumstances here in the Kenai, with some interests already conveyed by DNR and certain inholdings, that it was wise to make that protection overt and to put it right into the bill. We would see that as not a situation that normally requires this extra attention, but in this instance, we think we have language that does just that. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have. Has the committee received a list of the different organizations that have supported the bill?
I believe we probably have everything. We have a good amount of that has been made available, support from different groups, as well as the task force report. Senator Farrington.
Mr. Kelso, I've noticed that you could continue hunting, fishing, this kind of stuff. Would that be by permit, or just how would you handle that?
That would be under normal hunting and fishing regulations, no special permits.
No special permits in habitat area?
No, they're open to those activities on the same basis as in any other area.
Commissioner, one question I'd like to have a response on, and I ask it during the general planning things. If you have grazing leases, for example, and you come in, you develop your plan, are those held in a sense, the philosophy to allow things that could enhance those grazing activities to take place? What happens if, for instance, under the current status, there might be planting of grasses and hay and so on? Can things go on, or can that be used in a way to squeeze it down so that those grazing leases or so on would be really not as much value under, say, a different management as they are under current management? That question has been raised to me by people that have been in that area for many years and have concern about their ability to really have the value to those leases that presently exist.
Madam Chair, as I understand the law and as I understand the provisions of this bill, that those existing grazing leases would continue in full force and effect, and of course the leases by their terms provide what can be conducted on those lands. Those would not be abridged by the bill at all.
Question, Senator.
So on the same, down the same avenue, where is the Anderson grazing leases on this map?
Madam Chair, I don't think we know which ones are the Anderson grazing
leases. There's no grazing leases.
Madam Chair, the green outline means it's a grazing lease, but I'm not sure who has it.
Excuse me for just a moment. I'd like to ask the committee, Senator Zaroff is going to have to leave for Labor and Commerce. We're going to have to hold for the first order of business Senator Bennett's bill, since we've not had the testimony on that. I'm wondering, I would like to see action taken on this bill today, but it's up to the committee. What's your feeling, Senator Jarrah?
Madam Chairman, I think I'd like to consider an amendment to this thing. I would put a repealer on it in either 10, 15 years. That doesn't bother me, but I think some sort of repealer should be put onto this area because of the potential expansion and development in this area and the use of this particular.
All right, my suggestion would be, since there are some questions, is for those of us that can stay to get our additional questions asked. The two bills that we've had today will be up first thing on Wednesday, because it looks like everybody has to go and it's not fair to the sponsor to rush through. Could we take a few minutes, some of you, to ask your questions here, or do you want to close the meeting and come back on Wednesday? What's your pleasure?
Chairman, Matt,
all right, Mr. Kelso, Mr. Farquhar, Scott, can you be back on and the sponsor on Wednesday? We will take up the two bills before us. At that time, I will therefore continue the public hearing on both bills. And thank you very much. And if you will possibly work with the sponsor in our office, Senator Darrow, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Could you
answer my question?
We can find out which ones are the Anderson leases, but right now they're these over here.